We're speaking once again with Gail Holzman. This is part two of our audio interview with Gail about the considerations for when you're purchasing a sweeping company. And this is for the person that has an existing sweeping company. They're in the same market area as the target company they're looking to purchase. And these are the things that you should consider when you're doing that. Gail's president of American Sweeping Incorporated in Kansas City. And Kansas City, Missouri. You've been at this for 24 years. And so, Gail, I know you've purchased a number of companies that were in your market area, if not all of them.
One time or another, unfortunately, I must tell you, sometimes I'm buying my work back, and we're going to address that, buying your work back, because that could definitely be the case if you have a new competitor moves in and you have 96% of the market. I mean, they're going to take your work. But let's talk about just wanting to grow. And that's really what we're talking about in this section here, Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a sweeping company. I've got two or three trucks. Guy across town, he's got a couple trucks. He's burned out. He's wanting to move to Florida or whatever the case may be. His wife doesn't want him to work nights anymore. Whatever the reasons for it, he wants to sell his business. So he calls you. He says, hey, Bobby says, or Gail in this instance, I want to sell my business. Well, I think what I need to do is ask myself, do I want this business? That's the first question, and that sounds kind of funny. We all want to grow. We all want to be big. We all want to be prosperous, and we want to be successful. And in order to be successful, in my opinion, you need to be driving forward. Well, by buying your competitors, definitely a show of driving forward. But can you afford this competitor? What kind of work is he doing? If there's his pricing in line, are you buying your work back for half of what you were doing originally when he took it away from you? Does he have good equipment? And it comes back to the same standard thing. Does he have good maintenance? Does he have good personnel? Does he care about the business? Why is he getting out? We just outlined a couple reasons why he could be getting out. Those things all come into play. And as a buyer, I have to ask myself the particulars on what's important to me. And then once I answer those questions, we can proceed ahead. And then we start the process. We sit down and we look at his numbers. He's probably going to want a confidentiality agreement like we talked about in one of the other segments. He may even want a deposit. And if you really think he's got something that's worth buying and you got the money to be able to put down on this thing and you think about 97% sure that you're going to follow through on it if everything's right, then you can do that. But that's what you want to do. You got to answer the questions. You got to have a plan. Once you have the plan defined, go in, talk to this seller, and make sure that you ask the right questions. You might even want to write them down so you don't forget. Go to a business advisor. It's well worth advice. Go to Ranger Kidwell Ross, World Sweeper, and look at the segments on what do you need to have, which I'm sure we're going to pose. What are the questions to ask if you're buying a company? Well, there's probably 10 really important ones, like how much you want for it. What are you going to do as far as with the equipment? Is it worth buying? Is the accounts worth buying? Are they making enough money? All those kind of things that come with. Then you can make a good judgment. Then you're ready to negotiate the finance.
One of the problems I know that can occur in this type of situation is that the guy across town has gotten some of your accounts and the other accounts that he's gotten because he's too low. So now, if you purchase his company, you're going to be stuck with accounts that you have to go in and raise the prices because he didn't have sense enough to do that, which is why he's selling to you. And chances are you may lose a number of those accounts.
Well, you know, Ranger, you're outlining the reason why he's probably selling, truthfully now. The fact of the matter is he can't afford to continue in the business because, one, he is too cheap. Two, he doesn't have a good program, and probably too cheap. You know, you can't have good programs without being able to spend the money on them. That's just the way it works. That's how it is. So you're right, and that's the first thing you have to decide, whether or not you can take that Walmart or that Kmart or that Target store back to the level where it needs to be profitable. A lot of managers, they may go to a third sweeping company or a fourth sweeping company, somebody else's business. And there's guarantees you can write in there, you know, as far as, you know, 30 days, 120 days, even a whole year. If you got an account that this seller needs to guarantee that the business is going to stay in place if all things are done and service level stays at this level, that he's going to guarantee the work to be there a year from now. A difficult situation. And you know what? If everything was easy and everything was a guarantee, we'd all be rich. We'd all be in business. We'd all have the name Bill Gates. That's not a real world. There is risk in buying a company. There is risk in taking on work. The question you got to ask yourself is, this bunch of work that you're getting ready to buy, is it worth it to you to pay the finances that he's asking for?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. If it doesn't, walk away. because you could probably build it cheaper than you can pay for it.
The reason that he's selling is, of course, important, because if the person has built their business, they're at retirement age, and that's what they're intending, that's a whole different thing than if the company is poorly run, poorly managed, there's no cash flow, and, you know, ratty trucks and so forth.
Well, I was fortunate enough to sell my nighttime sweeping business in Kansas City this year in 07. I sold it to a reputable company, which was very important to me because it was my baby at 24 years, as you know. I was looking for a reputable company as much as I was looking for the money. It's kind of like having a dog. I mean, you know, I got a dog. I got to get it away because I just moved an apartment. Won't let me have a dog. Well, it's more important to me to find somebody to take care of the dog than it is to get the $100 I want for the dog. I might even sell it for $50 to a better family. Well, this is kind of the same case with my sweeping company because it was dear to me and it was hard for me to detach from my baby, as you said in other segments. Now, that is absolutely correct. It is possible to buy a company because I am proof of that because I did it. And I did guarantee the work to these folks. I made sure that they understood that everything I told them was exactly the way it was. I put certain guarantees that that work would stay for a certain period of time because I can understand their stress. They're paying a premium dollar for a company, and here 4 months down the road, this company that they're sweeping decides to leave them because they're my buddy. And at the end of the day, they don't have revenue to be able to support the purchase price that they paid for the company. Me as a seller, and we're kind of on the other side again, me as a seller, I felt important that I could put certain guarantees in there because I was that confident I had that good of account base to be able to afford that. If you're not getting that, then you should take a long look at whether or not you're going to have those accounts a year from now before you pay a lot of money for them.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that should be covered if you're buying the company across town?
If you're buying a company across town, again, let's go over one last time because I really think this is important. This is where most owners get a little sloppy. Make sure their equipment's in order, they're licensed properly, the UCCs can be released, that you've got a good maintenance set records on each one of those trucks so that you know exactly what you're buying. Make sure that the miles are in good shape, the motors are in good shape. The equipment is a real big part of a purchase asset agreement, absolutely, and make sure you take that very seriously. Don't just look at the revenue that you're going to be getting, because that's what most people focus on. They count. And then at the end of the day, they end up with a bunch of junk trucks and a bunch of employees that are real dissatisfied that you can't afford to even keep. Those are the kind of things you need to answer before you buy that company. Go on the other side of it. Get away from just the account. Make sure you got all the bases covered before you make that decision to go to the bank, put your house up, whatever, pass your debt, wherever you're going to get the finance done.
One of the things that strikes me is that I would want to see non-compete agreements in place at the other company so that I know that this dissatisfied employees, now that the company's been sold, don't go out and start sweeping companies.
Absolutely. Absolutely good point. And I tell you, I think that's worth something. So what you do is you pay for a non-compete. I don't know what the dollar value is. Everybody's dollar value is different. But I tell you, if I traditionally bought a company over the years and I was taking the owner out, I gave him a dollar amount for a yearly non-compete. And traditionally, I would buy a five-year non-compete.
Okay, are there any other items?
Okay, one last thing we want to talk about is finance. We kind of leave that to last in each one of our segments, and
mm-hmm.
I want to go over it one last time. As a buyer, financing is as important as the purchase price because there's certain things that we can play with, i.e. interest rates, terms, amount of time that we're financing. I've bought a lot of companies over the year, and it's a little secret. I've bought a lot of companies over the year in trade revenue. I'll sweep something for 6 months, 5 months, 2 months. That's that multiple we talked about by selling. But I'll sweep something for a certain amount of period of time. Doesn't cost me any interest. Cost me just the cost factor to sweep in that account. And at the end of the period that it's agreed to, I own the account. Great way of doing it. It's easy on taxes. It's just a smart way of doing it. And I've done that with not only sweeping companies, trash companies, and other companies that I've bought.
So
that way it's a win-win for both of us.
Just to be clear, what you do is you sweep, you give them the revenue from sweeping for a certain amount of time.
That's correct.
And then it's your account.
And it's my account. There's no interest involved. There's no banks involved.
Mm-hmm.
It's between me and the seller. And at the end of the day, they collect their money. I collect the account, and we move about their business.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that several times.
Very good. Well, thank you, Gail. And we'll have the part three of this interview series will be also available at the same website link, which will be the considerations for someone when they're looking to purchase a sweeping company that is in another entire market area as part of their business expansion.
Thank you, Ranger.